Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of June 17, 2022. The promises of God are real, and the promise of the resurrection is one of the most important for our understanding our life and our purpose in this world. There's a life to come. A harbinger is an indicator, a signal of things to come. The sacrifice of Isaac is a harbinger of the most important sacrifice in all of history, the sacrifice of Christ on the cross for our sins. Isaac's saving is a small reminder of our salvation, which is fulfilled in Christ. This week is a revisiting of Genesis chapter 22, where we witness the sacrifice of Isaac. Except, Isaac wasn't ultimately sacrificed by his father Abraham. We now join in with the podcast originally shared on January 22, 2021. This day we pray for our society that our people would look to the Lord for salvation. Our first reading is from the 9th chapter of Isaiah. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish in the former time. He brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy in the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. Our next reading is from the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Our next reading is from the 4th chapter of Matthew. Now when he heard that John had been arrested, Jesus withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. In the boat was Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. And the reading for our discussion this day is from the 22nd chapter of Genesis. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, "Abraham, my father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. Now after these things it was told to Abraham, "Behold, Milcah also has borne children to your brother Nahor: Uz, his firstborn; Buz, his brother; Kemuel, the father of Aram; Chesed; Hazo; Pildash; Jidlaf; and Bethuel. Bethuel fathered Rebekah. These eight Milcah bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother. Moreover, his concubine, whose name was Roimah, bore Tebah, Gaham, Tahash, and Ma'akah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The Bible is a collection of many works by many authors who wrote as directed by God's Holy Spirit. It is both without error. We say that it is without error in the original autographs, because certainly our translations and reproductions can have a word missing or a typo or some sort of error in translation. So by the original autographs, we mean the original writing by the original author is without error, or as the scholar Paul Meyer might like to say, that it is infallible, that is, the writings of Scripture would not lead us astray. Because the authors were guided by God's Holy Spirit, we also say that the Scriptures are inspired, which means exactly that they were inspired by God's Holy Spirit. The narrative of the sacrifice of Isaac is a demonstration that the Scriptures are a cohesive work, a work that holds together and belongs together both in the Old and New Testaments. Jewish people would call the Old Testament the Tanakh. the T sound standing for Torah, also known as the Law. The first five books of the Old Testament written by Moses, as we understand. The N sound standing for the Nabi'im or prophets, and the K sound of that word Tanakh standing for Katavim or writings, which are the rest of the material in the Old Testament that does not fit into the Torah or prophets category. The New Testament adds to the Old Testament only in that it fulfills what has happened in the Old Testament. So it complements what the Old Testament has already laid down as a foundation. The two mesh and work together. Jesus' way of describing the Old Testament or the Tanakh was to call it the Law and the Prophets. Jesus fulfills the things of the Old Testament. The passage from Genesis 22 here is what we call a type, that is, a pattern of things to come. The shedding of blood atones for sin. The first sacrifice of animals to provide skins for Adam and Eve to wear that covered up their shame was a provision that came from God. Sacrifice is found in the narrative of Cain and Abel, the narrative of Noah, and the narrative of Abram receiving prophetic knowledge from God in Genesis chapter 15. But now God is commanding Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Abraham took his son, a few servants, wood, and arrived to the place God wanted on the third day. Abraham left the servants and said he was going to go worship God, and he was taking Isaac with him. This is his son, the child of promise, through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Abraham had Isaac carry the wood for the burnt offering, and he carried the fire and the knife. This is where Isaac says, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said that God would provide. So when they got to the place for the sacrifice, Abraham proceeded to build the altar, lay the wood, and bind Isaac on top of it, and he reached out his hand to slaughter Isaac. This was God's response. Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. This is when Abraham lifts up his eyes to find a ram caught in the thicket, and so that ram took Isaac's place on the altar. It was sacrificed instead. God provided for Abraham, and then he reaffirmed his promise to Abraham. By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Then they all returned to Beersheba, and Abraham lived there. The stories of Scripture are not a bunch of gobbledygook, disparate things that are just strung together. They are history that can be verified by geography and archaeology. Other religions can be falsified by lack of important details. They are inconsistent, garbled, gibberish. But God is at work in Scripture, giving us patterns of his promises and confirming his work for us through fulfilled prophecies and powerful historical events that confirm his love for us and his direction for us in history. Listen to Isaiah chapter 52, verses 13 to 15, and chapter 53. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. And continuing in Isaiah 53, who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah is telling the story of the crucifixion of Jesus hundreds of years before it takes place. The sacrifice of Isaac is also a type of Jesus' crucifixion. I was watching basketball the other day, and the commentator was saying of my favorite team that they run so many of the same play, but with little variations, so it gets really confusing for the opponent. Instead of going one way, they go another, even though it looks like the same play. Well, God is running a little different play with Jesus, but there are so many similarities to the Isaac narrative. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go. What sounds like that? That sounds a little like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Isaac is the only son of Abraham's and Sarah's union, the son of promise from whose line Jesus would eventually be born. Abraham loves his son. Abraham arrives at the destination on the third day. Jesus is raised on the third day. Abraham lays the wood of the sacrifice on Isaac. Jesus carries his cross. This father, Abraham, was fully prepared to carry out the sacrifice. He was not going to withhold his son. God did not withhold his son, his only son, from being sacrificed. A ram takes Isaac's place. God runs a different play, so to speak, and allows his son to be sacrificed in order that he might take our place. So it is pretty astonishing that Abraham had the faith to take his own son and sacrifice him to God. God stops the sacrifice of Isaac, but God is going to perform an even greater sign with his own son by raising Jesus from the dead. The book of Hebrews gives us an insight into Abraham's incredible faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. The Bible is a book of continuity. God always intended that we would live forever, but we yielded that perpetual life in the fall. Yet God intends a resurrection of the dead. He even demonstrates that resurrection and speaks of it in the Old Testament. Abraham trusted that God would raise his son Isaac, even if he sacrificed him. Then there's Job, who says, "Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me." Then there's Isaiah speaking of Jesus. Isaiah 53, verse 10. "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days." In other words, this verse speaks of the resurrection when it says, "He shall prolong his days." God has big plans for you. You're going to live again. You're going to be raised and restored to life. This is the blessing for those who believe in Jesus. After our skin has been thus destroyed, yet in our flesh we shall see God. So the troubles and trials and tribulations of this world will go away. And once again, our existence will be like that of Adam and Eve, where we will have fellowship with God and walk with Him. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, we long for fellowship with You and pray that You will forgive our sins, that even our days might be prolonged and we may live in eternity with You. Guide us through this life, through all our days. We pray this in Your name, O Lord Jesus. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we live in a confusing world where people lose sight of Your grace, Your love, and Your mercy. Give us the faith to trust in You, whatever may come, resting on Your promises. We pray that You would help the people of the world to understand that life and salvation are to be found only in You. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our special verse this week does not come out of our readings for this week, but comes from the book of Galatians. There it says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 8, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." All of our scriptures have come from the English Standard Version translation of Scripture, but the version of John 3:16 that we use today was from the King James translation.
Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from Jesus, Savior, pilot me. As a mother stills her child, Thou canst hush the ocean wild. Boisterous waves sea. Jesus, Savior, pilot me when at last I near the shore and the fearful breakers roar, 'twixt me and the peaceful rest. Then, while leaning on thy breast, may I hear thee say to me, fear not, I will pilot thee. When I fear the depths of sea, let your word be light to me. When I sink, you grasp my hand, place my feet where I can stand, place me in the boat with thee. Let me ever be with thee. Calm my sorrow, fear, and ease. Jesus, always stay with me. In the worldly storms of doubt, life without, everything you are to me, I